This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hey guys, here's a message from one of our partners, SpiderVPN. As we all know, browsing the internet can be full of hidden dangers and snoopers, but you can easily protect yourself and at the same time get access to all your favourite websites and streams by using SpiderVPN. They have some amazing offers right now and I come highly recommended. Check them out at spidervpn.org and get yourself some great offers now. And don't forget to mention Dazzling Dave or Always Wolves to get yourself a real nice discount. That's spidervpn.org. Good evening. Welcome to Extra Time Live. It's finished today. Leeds United 1, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. And for much of that game, it was 1-0 to Wolves. And the irony is, last week we scored a late set-piece goal to secure an incredible comeback against Villa. And today, it's a 94th, 95th minute penalty from Leeds. Although to say, yeah, as Wolves fans, we'll probably have to admit they deserved at least a point out of that game from the second half. But we do want to get into it and seeing how we feel about Bruno's tactics, how we performed, hearing the views, the performance rating and man of the match from everyone that's getting involved today. I have to tell you now that doing this show now, right now, is commitment from everyone here because most of us have been to the game today and most of us haven't been home very long. And here we are, doing the live show for you. So if you could be so kind as to smash a like on the video, let YouTube know you're enjoying it, joining the conversation. And if you're listening to it back on the podcast, please give the Always Wolves podcast, which is episode 51 now, a rating on the podcast on Apple, Spotify and most good podcast providers. And you might also be watching it back on catch up, just like BBC iPlayer. on YouTube as well. So we've got we're going to get Paul on first, but we've got Josh, Manny and Craig that are coming on. I'm not sure if Craig's written a song for us this week or not. The one that he did for the Ruben Neves song was fantastic. And I just want to say a big hi to everyone in the chat for joining us. And hopefully we'll get this all finished before match of the day. So I'm going to bring on first friend of the show, Paul. How you doing, mate?
Hi, Dave.
Oh, Paul's wearing the white top as well. Everyone's got them, and they look good.
All three of them are good. In fairness.
Okay.
All three of the tops, I think. Castor has done a brilliant job.
They have, and the training wear and some of the other stuff have been really, really good. Paul, we didn't bump into each other today, but whereabouts in the stand at Elland Road were you sitting? And you went to Meadow Hall before, so tell us about that as well.
Snuck in a Nando's before the match.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. got to have some good fuel, haven't you, for an away day? So,
well, Jake Johnson's just popped up. He's watching the show live in California at the moment. Everyone in the chat, let us know where you're watching from. That'd be great. So what's Meadow Hall like before we get on the game these days, mate? Still going?
It's a similar version to Maryhill, to be honest. I mean, there's a few gaps, like where Debenhams and other big shops have gone bankrupt. But it was just a quick stopping off point, really, for a good feast.
A sneaky Nando's.
Yeah.
And we've got Derek from Auckland in Australia that's joined us as well, which is amazing. California and Auckland, Australia. We've got Ewan from Northern Ireland as well. Fantastic. So getting into the game, mate, lad, talk me through how you're feeling about that, the end, and what you thought of as the game went on.
Okay. Well, I'll quickly say before I talk about the game that in general, I'm really pleased, especially with our recent form. Was it 4 wins out of 6? One draw.
4 wins out of 5, wasn't it? It's 4 wins out of 6 now, yeah.
And 2 points off the top 4. So whatever I'm about to say over the next few minutes, I am pleased with the more longer-term picture because it's 9 games in now. That's a quarter of the season, roughly. So,
yeah.
Overall, I'm pretty pleased with that. But today, it's a missed opportunity. Leeds have got some 4 key players out. We've started the game really positively. Even before we scored, we had a couple of good breaks down the left.
We did.
And I thought, great, we finally got our early goal. We finally scored in the first half. Leeds have got these key players missing. They look so open at the back. And the defending so high up the pitch, this is there for the taking. This could be.
I thought that as well. I thought we could go on early doors. I thought we could have gone on and scored 2, 3, and 4 because we seemed to be getting in. Traore was having a lot of space. And I noticed as well from, you know, there was not these 1 and 2 and 3 on him. There was like one person and he could get past them.
Yeah.
But I thought they were, I mean, a lot of the Leeds fans were basically saying that we were quite dirty and, you know, stopping play and stuff. We've had that done a bit to us. But I thought that the Leeds, the referee was a little bit lenient, especially in the first half on some of the persistent fouling that was going on in our players. Moutinho got booked at his first tackle, got a yellow in the 5th minute. And I think it took till the second half till Leeds actually got a yellow card, which I was really surprised.
Yeah. But we should have built on that early goal. I just saw so many gaps that we could exploit and we've got such pace up front and skill. So it was disappointing that we didn't go and build on that early goal. But I will say as well, Leeds are a difficult team to play against. They don't give you a minute on the ball. We all know, we've all heard all the stats about their running stats and pressing. And they are very good at doing that. But I'm really disappointed about lack of ambition, especially in the second half today. I've seen a few comments about it was like watching one of Nuno's teams, and I guess it was, but all this is against a backdrop of a lack of recruitment in the summer.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be taken into account. But overall, if I had to sum it up, I'd say missed opportunity.
Definite missed opportunity. There's a question here from Carl. Dave and Paul, did you see any objects thrown from the Leeds fans in the second half?
There weren't just one or two,
there was lots.
Yeah, Jimenez goes down with a head injury after about 20 minutes, down by that Norman Hunter stand behind the goal. And if there's one player in the Premier League who goes down with a head injury, like they really need to take care of a player like him. And they were chucking lighters at him when he's on the floor with a head injury. And this is only 20 minutes into the game or so. So it's not like he's going to be time wasting. I was just so shocked that the Leeds fans were behaving like that towards a player who really, well, nobody deserves treatment like that on the pitch, but particularly him with his recent past of head injuries. I thought it was staggering, really, how they treated him like that.
I have to agree. It was behind that, behind the goal. There was a lot thrown, and the stewards didn't seem to take anyone out either. Or like it, spotted it. Or maybe they didn't see who threw them, but there was quite a few like bits and pieces, you know, and it's only got to hit someone. I thought that was disappointing. I'd say that was disappointing because, to be fair, aside from obviously that people throwing, which is totally out of order, the Leeds fans, it's the best away. I mean, in terms of so far this season, their support was fantastic. The way they got behind their team, second half, that's around the whole stadium, it kind of like was really inspired that performance from Leeds in the second half. Their fans, I think, and the way they got behind their team and got them going was a big part of how Leeds played in the second half. And I think it affected the Wolves players, although we tried to deal with it and play with it, and the Wolves fans obviously sang back, but the atmosphere at Elland Road was really good. And I've got to credit the Leeds fans for that.
That's a fair comment, Dave, particularly with a team that's been struggling over the past few weeks and a team that was losing. I thought the Leeds fans vocally were very good, but I just thought some of the behaviour towards throwing objects at Sace as well, Ait Nouri in the second half, and particularly Jimenez when he's down with a head injury, was disgraceful, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to agree with that, mate. There's been obviously some talk. Wolves haven't played that well in the last six games, but we played well in patches. I thought at some points today, especially early in the first half, we started to see us zipping the ball around like we had early doors. Yep. And then we got to half time. You know, Leeds were just starting to get a foothold going into half time. And I was glad the half time came. But we seemed to be, it was a bit Nuno-esque in the way we defended, the way we approached the game in the second half. We never really seemed to get at them. They were closing us down. The ball was coming. And, you know, Saar made a fantastic save, which I thought was a sure goal. He kept us in it. And we nearly got away with it. But, you know, the second half was just literally, it was like there was a slope on the pitch. It was one-way traffic all the way. And I was a bit disappointed. A lot of people have been disappointed that we were a bit ultra-negative. Do you think that was injury-related or tactical? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Seemed to be a tactical and mindset issue. Obviously, we could have done with one or two players recruited who could help us in that area. I think, though, we almost scored too early and didn't know what to do. We haven't been in that position. I mean, maybe someone in the chat can say, but when was the last time we were winning at half-time in a Premier League match? You know, and I think they, I don't know if they didn't have a plan for it, but I think it was the wrong plan about how to go about defending a 1-0 lead.
Well, I've got to be honest, over the last 2 years, you know, it's probably a shock to the system that we scored in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even last week, we left it till the last 15 minutes to score our three goals, didn't we? And we have been wanting to score earlier. It was great. I thought for 10 or 15 minutes after the goal, Leeds were there for the taking.
Yeah.
And then the second half, I don't know whether it was the Leeds or whether
it was... They deserve some credit.
You know, well, they did. They played well. You can't knock Leeds. I mean, it's the way they played is, you know, with the passion and the support and the way they got their supporters going, the supporters got them going was great. They were, you know, they were causing us all sorts of problems. Although, I saying that, I did think we were dealing with it. And I think Semedo that did the foul?
Yeah, it was,
But Semedo wouldn't have been on that side had Ait Nouri not gone off. And he was, Hoover came on. And Semedo had to move over to that left side, which is not his position. And he looked like he wasn't really comfortable there. And towards the end, it was all coming down that right-hand side.
The pressure just told in the end. You can't afford to play that defensive and just hope, like a phrase that you used before, to get away with it. We would have completely have got away with it today if we'd have come away with 3 points. There's no way we deserved that. And it just makes me wonder, thinking ahead, we've got a really tough December coming up. If we play like that in those matches, we'll absolutely get torn apart. And I wonder if it'll actually play into our hands a bit, playing against better teams.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how that pans out. But yeah, disappointed with the negativity in the second half. And as I said, missed opportunity overall.
Definitely a missed opportunity. I think you agree. Had we have won that game, we would have been equal fourth. Okay, there's a lot of the teams that have got going in hand on us as well. But we, I mean, you know, is it 9 matches in, 1-4, lost 4, drawn 1, goal right. difference of 0.
Yeah.
You know, after the first 3 games, we'd have definitely have taken that. But this attacking football that we seem to have been playing early doors, well, okay, we didn't get the results, but we looked so impressive. The stats today for Leeds, they had 64% yeah. possession to our 36.
Yeah.
They had 18 shots on our goal to our 8. They had 4 shots on target. We had 4 shots on target. And of course, it was 1-1. But you can just see from the stats, the possession, Wolves are disappointed with the possession because early doors, we were dominating possession. And now we seem to be being dominated. Leeds definitely needed something because obviously they're in a precarious position. But playing like that, they ain't going to have any problems, I don't think.
No, I don't think they'll be in relegation trouble. But yeah, even when you said about the possession, that was one thing we were told to expect from one of Bruno's teams. But in fairness, I think Hwang is the only outfield player to start today that's one of his players. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same team, isn't it, as last season. So let's see when the January transfer window and when he's had a year, 18 months, and he's starting to mould his team. Will that start to change for the better then?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. We need to get to January because we're running a bit tight on. I mean, Bolly's injured again or out for whatever reason. Ait Nouri went off today. How bad's he? Marcel had picked up a calf strain. Neves was apparently on the bench because he'd picked up a strain. Jimenez was a doubt. We've still got a very, very thin squad. And I think Bruno said we can't afford to pick up any more injuries because, you know, in the Premier League, if you lose 2 or 3 key players, if we lose someone in the midfield, I thought, before we get on to our next caller, what did you think of Den Donker's performance today?
Poor. Bloke on the same row as me said, I can't believe Belgium ranked one of the best teams in the world and he gets in their team. And I thought he was poor today. He gave the ball away a lot, which is quite uncharacteristic. He's normally quite tidy, if not very penetrative in possession. He's normally quite good at keeping the ball, but he didn't do that today. But I think they were just overrun in the middle, and that probably contributed. But overall, I thought he had a poor game. And I think in general, we need to work out what he is as a midfielder. Is he box to box? Is he a sitter? Is he someone who we're going to try to get breaking forwards and get 6, 7, 8 goals a season? I don't think they know. I don't know if he knows what he is as a midfielder yet.
I know. Two games. Me and Manny talked about this on the post-match reaction because Manny came on with me. And we were like, he's had 2 starts now, Southampton away and today, and he hasn't convinced in either of those games. Okay, I think he started last week, didn't he, as well? He hasn't been very convincing, but he's a good player. But I'm not sure if it's quite working out for him at the moment. But he gave quite a few passes astray. Paul, to finish off with, who's your man of the match and what's your performance rating this week?
I think people will give it to Sarr because I thought he played well. But I thought Ait Nouri made a difference today. I thought he offered a lot of good attacking intent down the left. He nearly got a goal early on in the second half. I thought he defended well. And I think he should play in the next match. So I think I was really impressed with him.
Did he just come off a cramp, Paul?
Cramp, yeah. He cramped up with about 10 minutes to go. And then again, and then the second time, that was when he had to come off. But I thought he had a really good game today against a tough opponent as well in Rafinha.
He is a good player. He does add a little bit more than Marcel going forward.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks for coming on. Much appreciated again. I know it's been a long day for you as well, so much appreciated. I know you'll probably listen to this back on the podcast as well, won't you?
Yeah, tomorrow. Thanks for having me on, and I'll be at the Everton game on a week on Monday.
Nice one. All the best, Paul. Thank you.
Okay, cheers, everyone. See you, Dave. Bye-bye.
So that's our pool. And next up, we have got Josh. Hey, Josh, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, you.
This is your second appearance on the show. Did you go today?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Me and my dad went up today on the coach.
So, who did you travel with?
Went with the official coaches this time round.
And what time did you set off?
Set off at 10:30 and got there for about 1:30.
Oh, right, so you had a little bit of time. Sometimes these coaches turn up last minute. And whereabouts in the Wolves End were you sitting?
Just level with the end of the pitch where we were on the top half.
Oh, we fantastic.
Right beyond the disabled bay where me and my dad were. So
fantastic. Well, thank you for getting back. What time did you get home?
It's got to have been about 7:45.
Well, we stopped off at the services and had a sandwich and a Costa.
Yeah.
I know Manny gets his Costa in before he goes. We had to get one on the way back, you see, because the lucky Costas, they've got a tradition. They have a lucky Costa or a lucky Starbucks before they start before they get to the game. So, like, talk us through your thoughts on the game from start to finish, mate.
I say the first 10 minutes, when that goal came in 10 minutes, and it was well worked from when Jack Harrison that lost the ball to Semedo, and Semedo picked it up and got it in. I thought for 20, 35 minutes, we controlled the game once we got the goal. Although we didn't have many more chances that first half, we were definitely, I don't think we were sitting as deep as we were second half. And then we got that free kick just before half time. Looking at it now, I'd have quite liked to have seen Sace have a pop at that on the left foot.
Yeah.
Seen it in the past where he has come close. And then it was, I think we probably could have nicked a few more goals. They were there for the taking after we scored, I thought. First 10 minutes, they looked lively, we looked lively, and then we got that goal and they went quiet a bit. But then second half, I just felt either we were sitting back or they were pinning us back. Because first half, I thought we were pinning them, their full-backs and their wingers quite deep.
Yeah, that's a good point, that is.
Because that gone there, it'd be their right-hand side, Rafinha was at right-back at points. I think it was Rafinha and Daniel James on that right-hand side, and they just weren't getting forward. Is
Daniel James the one that got from United?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
And then it was the same on the left, because Ailey was injured. You had Jack Harrison. I can't remember who the left-back was, but we were pinning them back all first half, and the second half, it was completely the other way around.
And, do you blame Bruno for that, or just back or a bit of Leeds? How are you thinking it?
I think it was a bit of both. I think we've been told to ease it back off a bit, but get a chance, try and take a chance where we could. But also, I thought the way Leeds, we were losing the ball in midfield. Second half, we couldn't win. We were losing every battle in midfield. That many loose balls, and especially the one when Ndonka decided to flick it with the outside of his foot, and it moved about 2 yards, and they ran onto it and nearly scored off it.
I know. I was like, oh my God, when that happened.
But too many loose passes in the centre of midfield. First half at the Villa, second half at Leeds. And then I thought we were just getting overrun midfield, and then they get it out to the right hand side. And kept coming down there when that Geldhart who come on. And he was pushing quite far forward as well. And then obviously that last 20 minutes, you could tell it was coming. They were just hammering. I wouldn't say hammering us, because they weren't really getting shots in apart from the one Sartic over the bar. And then I thought when they got in the box, they weren't too troubling. I thought we dealt with them quite well. But just the fact that...
The defence, I mean, when you look at it, Kilman, Cody and Saez, especially Saez, do get sometimes a bit of stick. But they've done well, really. Yeah. They've done well. Saez got a yellow. Cody got a booking.
Kilman got a booking.
They all got a booking. I mean, the Kilman booking was from, a misplaced pass. Yeah. And he tried to do the tackle and he caught him. Moutinho got a booking after 5 minutes. I think that probably did affect him a little bit in the back of his mind. He's like, can't afford another yellow. Obviously, Ndonka, we've talked about. Semedo, I thought, did okay until he had to switch wings. Aitnori did all right. Hwang, he scored 4 in 4. He scored as many as the rest of the team. I thought that was great. But other than that, I don't think he did much.
Nah.
Ralph put himself about. Traore created opportunities again, but there's no one that really stood out, was there, really, today?
No, not really. It was more of a collective group today, I thought. There wasn't really anybody that made a statement. But it was one of those where you just felt it, that, like I said, that last 20 minutes when they started doing that "We are the champions, champions of Europe" chant that was going on for about 20 minutes.
I'll tell you what, I've got to say, I was quite impressed. I know we were going, "What the hell is that?" But it did look pretty cool that they were doing, and that all the ground. Apart from the throwing the stupid idiots that threw on the pitch, you know, their support was fantastic. Because we've been to a few, and it was loud. They were loud, and it was a lot of the stadium, and I think that atmosphere really helped their players.
Yeah.
So credit to them for that. But they were doing that and they sang it for ages and ages and ages. And it's like sometimes do the Bruno Lars Barmy Army, and we keep it going for ages. They kept going.
Well, it was the Leeds 4-3, I think, at home. And when we were on Sky and we were doing Barmy Army for about 15 minutes. That was about, 6 years ago now when we beat them 4-3.
I know.
And that went on through the whole ground for about 15, 20 minutes, like they did today, really.
I think their fans kind of really, really were their 12th man today and made a big difference. So credit to, you know, we come on, sometimes we go to a place and go, well, we weren't impressed with that. And I remember when we went to Leicester, first match of the season, and they had that little slither that sang and the rest you know, I mean, Ellen Road was rocking today, you know.
Delay was one of her away so far.
Oh, definitely. And they were quite intimidating to our players the way they performed.
Yeah,
so, mate. I mean, let's talk us through your performance rating and who your man of the match is.
I'd probably lean towards. I was thinking this on the way back. I was going to say 7, but I'm thinking of it. I'd probably say 6.
Yeah,
he didn't really create much after the goal, and then obviously sitting back the second half. And the
I
way
think Leeds I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah. But it was just that second half was a bit lackluster. We had nothing going. We were losing the ball. And then man of the match, I am stuck between two. I'd say Sarr, but I thought Zhou did quite a lot of dirty work today, trying to win the ball back in midfield.
Yeah,
he worked hard today, I thought.
My edge was Matinho, but you've got to split between Sarr and Matinho. If you have to pick one, who are you going to pick?
I'll probably say Sarr for that save.
It was a great time. And you know what? You know, Sarr is winning the fans over because he did have a bit of criticism and he really is winning the fans over. And not just with his saves, the way he commands his area and the way he distributes the ball as well. Josh, thank you ever so much for coming on, mate. I'm much appreciated. It's good to have you on for the second time. And I'm glad you managed to get to the match today and we didn't lose in the end. We managed to get a point. And a point's not a bad result. If you'd have said 4 points from Villa two tricky away games, Villa and Leeds, we'd have took that, wouldn't we? Yeah. If we can follow it up with a win against Everton, who incidentally got beat at home. Was it at home against Watford or
away? They were 2-1 up with 10 minutes ago.
And they lost 5-2. They collapsed.
Josh King got two.
It shows what can happen in football. Yeah. Claudio Ranieri is weaving his magic already at Watford. You know, the Tinker Man is back. All right, Josh, thanks ever so much, mate.
Brilliant. Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, pal.
Thanks.
So that's Josh. Great to have him on again. And next up, we have Manny against.
Hey, how you doing?
Mate, it was great. Thanks for jumping on the instant reaction after the match. Anytime you want to do that, mate, it's great to have you on. So that was brilliant. And obviously, like us, you've driven there and driven back.
Yep.
You've not been back too long, have you?
I've been back about about 40 minutes, I think, just after 9 o'clock. Well, about 9 o'clock, I think.
It's a long day, isn't it? It's a long day.
It's been a long day, but it's part and parcel of the joy of following football, isn't it? Going to different cities and seeing different away games. I'd never been to Ellen Road before, so it was a new away day for us. And it is a classic old ground with a lot of history and, you know, some legends of the game, the Bremners and the Hunters and people
that
like that.
Statue, so that statue for Billy Bremner, what they've done is really nice, isn't it?
Brilliant. Yeah, I met quite a few Leeds fans beforehand as well. I met one that was born in Bilston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he had moved there, to be fair, like years and years ago, and he'd been a Leeds fan for like 50 years. But it's nice sharing a few stories because pretty much a similar path to us, you know, historic club, done really well, then suffered and in the doldrums and then come back and did really well, had a great season, and now they were very, very negative, the fans were, before the game. They thought we were going to take them because I think they just saw our results and their results haven't been that good. And I sort of warned them. I said, you know, we haven't actually been playing that well whilst we've been getting these results. So I don't think you're completely out of it. And the match sort of, so you know, that's the way it went. We scored, but we always thought we need the second goal. We desperately need this second goal as soon as possible. And the longer the game went on, you just sensed it. You sensed the wave, the emotions, the crowd, you know, sucked the ball in for them, almost, let's be honest. You know, their fans couldn't have done much more to help their team, full credit, because we've been to so many away grounds recently, that's, you know, before lockdown a couple of years ago, and the atmospheres have been terrible in some real big clubs and traditional clubs, and so it was good to go to a ground where the fans really got behind their team, considering they were losing.
Leeds fans, yeah, and the Wolves
made
fans
a difference.
Together, it made it a proper Premier League match derby, almost like a derby atmosphere at times. It was that it was amazing, the support. It was so loud. Mm. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know whether you agree with me in terms of an away day this year, but that's the best home support that I've seen.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, they were very raucous, and it's good, you know, they, for them, they're back in the team regardless of where they are in the league, which is what any team that's struggling needs. So, you know, but going on to the match, you know, we actually started it fairly well.
Yeah,
Fairly even match, but we looked comfortable. Leeds were threatening, but only from distance. And then we scored the goal. We scored the goal probably out of the blue a little bit as well for us. And Hwang's got a golden touch in front of goal, that's for sure. You know,
he does. He knows where new, the net is.
He's new. He's never, you know, played in this country before. He's come and he smashed four goals. So you've got to give him full credit for that, regardless of whether he makes an impact in the whole game or he goes in and out. You know, it'll take time, but what an impact to score four goals. So, but we needed to go on and get that second goal, and we didn't. And the longer the game went on, and their substitutes, you know, Geldhart, I'd never heard of it. Him, Somerville, never heard of him. I thought Somerville was a singer.
Jimmy Somerville, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that they were down to their bare bones, and their fans were saying that they're really down to their bare bones on the bench, and they're bringing a lot of young players on, and they sort of made a difference. And you know, we struggled, I think, in midfield. I know you've just mentioned Joe Moutinho, but I think that booking after 5 minutes was really huge, because he's we rely on him to be a bit of a terrier in midfield and biting at people's ankles and nicking the ball, and he couldn't go in as I think he probably wanted to in some of the challenges, because he would have been off. There was a couple of hairy ones where he nearly did catch the player, and you thought, you know. And the thing today was he had a partner next to him who might as well not have been on the pitch, Leander Dendonca. I do like, you know, the player, because he has got something about him, but he just doesn't perform regularly, and there's a reason why he's in and out the side. So that was really disappointing, and I think that was the key for me. The midfield were just bypassed and overrun all the time, and the defence was just under pressure, and eventually you're going to crack. I thought the defence did really well, as we didn't actually give Leeds too many clear-cut, gilt-edged chances. They had the one, and so I pulled it off a save that was worth a goal for us. You know, that save is like a goal. But apart from that, I thought the defence did okay. They cleared everything. They stood, you know, and I remember the girl next to me said, oh, what's Ait Nouri drinking? Because he had a shot of something. And I said, that's pickle juice, that is. And she goes, well, what's that for? I said, pickle juice is for cramp. So if you ever have cramp, you have a shot of pickle juice.
Is that right?
It, yeah. It releases the cramp very quickly. I mean, I've run marathons, so I know. I know.
You could have done a bit of that.
I could have. I didn't have any. My son said. My son actually said, he goes, Dad, you forgot the pickle juice. And that's what they take. So he obviously had that shot at around 60 minutes or something. So he was obviously struggling with cramp. And in the end, he came off. And then the switch happens. Smaido comes over to a side. That's not his side. So when he's playing, he's not really in a natural position because it's the wrong leg and the wrong stance.
Yeah.
And that player, to be fair, had gone through. And if he hadn't challenged, the guy gets a shot off and possibly scores. And it was a bit of a clumsy bundle over, a little bit soft. But once it's given, it's never going to be overturned. We knew that. And, you know, they dispatched the penalty. Over the course of the game, they fully deserved a point. And let's be honest, there was only really one team that looked like winning the game. The longer it went on, it was them, not us. So overall, we've got to look at that and think three games where we've played well but not got a point. Six games after that, we've got 13 points, more than 2 points a game. So that actually is a very good return. And whatever we think about performances and being disjointed and not being free-flowing, guess what football's about? It's about getting results. And you know, sometimes when you start losing, you do get a bit maybe defensive-minded because you're just desperate to get a result and you try and rein back a little bit. So I don't know whether the players have done that or whether it's a management thing, but there has been a drop-off in the performance, as in the passing, the possession, the free-flowing, the chances, but we've produced the results. So we're here now sitting 2 points a game, or more from the last six games. So we've got to take that forward. But there's positives there. We can't completely say it's negative. Bruno Lage is also 9 games into his reign. 9 games, which is nothing. He's had virtually no real backing to what he wanted. So he's got to be given that chance. You know, he's got to be given the chance. He's got to be able to recruit again in January. And otherwise, you just go through a merry-go-round of just changing your managers and never getting anywhere. So give him a chance. Back him. He knows he's got to produce more. The players know they've got to do more. The midfield needs, obviously, addressing. If, you know, Ruben Neves is nursing a bit of a strain, that's a worry because we haven't really got anybody else in reserve to bring in. You know, and he is a key player for us. Neves, Raul, you know, the way he links up, he set up the goal again. He's had that last touch towards Wang. You know, they're vital, these players are. So we've got to keep them fit. And the way you keep them fit is by having other people who are good enough to come in and give them a rest when they are suffering. And twice we've brought Dendonka in to maybe rest Neves and he hasn't performed. So that's a worry. It needs addressing very, very quickly. And it's up to the owners to do that.
But we only literally have 3 midfielders, really, don't we? Neves, Dendonka and Moutinho. There isn't a lot of options. The only options that we've got is in the formation, really.
Yeah, there is. And you know, at the back, we're exactly the same. We are bare bones, you know, with the injuries. Let's be honest. Willy Bowley's struggled with injury now for a couple of years. He's never really been regularly fit. And he's had another illness. I don't know what it's about, but apparently he's back in training. But he only just came back. And, you know, Marcel's gone again. But he's had a really, really decent run, to be fair, because he didn't last more than a game or 2 games last season. So he's actually did that.
It's his half, isn't it? So he might be fit for the Everton game.
Yeah. So, but, you know, for what we've got and the recruitment that we have done, which was limited, the return in the last 6 games particularly has been very good and it is a results business, but the performance needs addressing and improvement because you can't afford to be 2-0 down after 80 minutes like last week, or we can't afford to give a team that much possession and that many chances, because on another day, a better team scores two or three in that second half, not one penalty. So, you know, we've got to be guarded against that. And Wolves, we know, sometimes turn up against better teams anyway and play better. And it's always been the case. Like, so, you know, we've got to take the positives and keep going. It's work. I call it work in progress. New manager. He's got to be given the tools. He's got to be given a chance to bring his philosophies in. The players will take time to adapt. And he had a right go at Pedence for their goal. So their goal that went in, the run went in and Smaido made the challenge. He had a right. I don't know what happened. I'll have to watch it back. But he was like gesturing to Pedence about the ball. And Pedence was sort of having a bit of a go back. And they were having a bit, because he might have lost the ball or he might not have kept the ball. I don't know what happened, but so it's gonna take a bit of time, and we've got to keep backing him. We've got to keep supporting him. Next home game, huge home game, because at home we've struggled recently, and then we got that win against Newcastle. Yeah, but we've got to take that on and win another one and get on a bit of a home roll where we're beating sides at home and we're playing well against home. So, you know, the fans got to do their job and just sing your hearts out and be on the front foot too when we're supporting, because he's a new manager, he's a fairly youngish manager in a pretty difficult league, and he needs the backing off the board and off us. You know,
we're 6 weeks out, aren't we, from the January window opening? Couple of key things on there. Obviously, African Cup of Nations, the defence. When Saïss and Bolly go, we're going to be really short because Yerson's out. So they've got to have something up their sleeve straight away with that. Yeah. Also, are you concerned that, although there's been a lot of talk, Adama Traore still has not signed that new contract? Because obviously that will put a lot of pressure on Wolves to sell him in January if he hasn't signed the new contract.
I think contract things are like, you know, they work so weirdly now. It's not this, you know, it's not like, here you go, mate, here's your contract and we'll throw in a, you know, or we'll give you this and we'll give it. They take time. All players have always took time, you know, on their contracts. And sometimes it's, we're not going to talk about it until this date. So they might have a set date when they actually finalise everything. So, you know, we don't know.
It's been going on for almost 18 months now, though, hasn't it?
They have, but there were lockdown. There was lots of rumours about, you know, will offers come in for him? Is he one of the ones they might sell in the summer? Let's be honest, nobody really came in for these players, so that's why they're still here. You know, nobody was prepared to pay the sort of money that it would cost to take the players. So every player, remember, you know, players don't last for a lifetime at any club, very rarely. You know, Bully was an exception for us, and everybody else is sort of available. And that's why we've got them, remember. They came to us. So just like they come to us, they can actually go elsewhere as well. The only constant is me and you and the rest of the support fan base. They're the ones who will turn up every week in, week out. The managers and players will always change. So just got to live in the moment, and he's in the team now, and we've got to back the players that are playing. And then, you know, it's down to the board to address those weak areas in midfield and in the back line, which, you know, will suffer if we have injuries and players are out. And Premier League's a hard league. You can't just wing the Premier League and think you'll get away with it, because
if you stand still, you go backwards in the Premier League.
I'm hoping
that they've got, you know, and the most supporters will expect something to happen in January, because we do have a thin squad. We know that we're a couple of players short, one in defence and one in midfield. We hopefully we'll get the likes of Neto and Johnny back as well. They'll be like new players when they come back. Manny, what's your performance rating, and who are you giving your man of the match to, and why today?
Performance rating, you know, first half up to the scoring and up to probably about 35 minutes, it would have been 7 or 8 if we'd have got the second goal. But the drop off was huge, and let's be honest, we came out with a point which looked like we could win it, but we got a point. So it was a huge result because we hung on at the end. So the performances can't be more than 5.5 or 6 for me. Yeah. The result is like 10 out of 10 for the result because we got away with the point, to be fair.
Yeah.
And my man of the match, actually, I was going to give it to Ryan Aknuri before he got injured because I thought, especially the second half, I thought he got stronger. Even though he was faced with a barrage, he actually defended really well and he had attacking threat. But for me, Jose Sarr was only called upon once, really, you know, and he produced a world-class save that keeps us in it. And but for that, we could have ended up losing the game. So almost like a goal. So I'll just have to give it to him because he has impressed. Patricio was a good, good keeper, world-class keeper, you know, lots of pedigree. So to come into his shoes and actually in quite a few circumstances, improve that position.
Distribution,
distribution, delivery, that one throw to Bedent.
Towards the end as well, that, like you're saying, the throw out to Bedent when he, I thought it was taking the
You know, that throw out to Bedent, you're thinking, oh, we just took bloody Adama off because that was a throw out to Adama. They wouldn't have caught him. You know, and I think Raul put the ball through to Pedence as well. If that was Adama, they wouldn't have caught him. So, you know, it was a bit unfortunate that we couldn't get Adama into those positions because Leeds were playing quite high, especially in the first half, where we just, again, that final pass, the final ball, you know, Nelson Semedo, I know people might give him stick for the foul and being a bit clumsy, but he made the goal, remember. He, it was his work and he picked out the player and it led to a goal. So he did do good things as well. So all in all, a point is a fantastic result considering the level of performance. And we've had 13 points from 6 games. Not the greatest performances, but it's a results business. And we got the results. And it'll take time. It'll take time for him to develop his team, to play his way, to bring the performances back up to the level as well. But we'll certainly be there shouting our heads off and giving him all the backing he needs from the sidelines.
And, Manny, just to finish off on, there is an important announcement about Samosa Saturday 13. Yeah. Do you want to let everyone know?
Yeah, Samosa Saturday 13. You know, this is an unlucky number for some, but actually, in our faith, it's actually quite a lucky number, believe it or not. Long story, 13 is a very lucky number. But anyway, Samosa Saturday 13th is returning. We are doing it for the Liverpool match, which is December the 4th. And that will be before the game, 3 o'clock kickoff. So it's a big, big match, you know, against a very big, traditional, famous club. And 3 o'clock kickoff, so we'll be setting up a usual place by the university building just before the subway, from probably around 11 o'clock till kickoff. And you know, it's just a brilliant community event, which I say belongs to the fans of the club. You know, I'm privileged to almost like be a part of it. I know I've organized it and we brought it into the thoughts of people, but it's become a fan thing, and the fans like yourself and then many, many others volunteer and help out. And without that, it's nothing. And the, you know, just come, donate. And even if you, you know, even if you say you forgot your wallet, I'll still give you something to eat. Don't worry about it. You know, we'll feed you and we'll just meet each other and greet each other and just try and live life a little bit more positively, because we've all had a pretty bad time over the last couple of years, you know, with all what's happened in the world. And it's about time we bring a bit of joy to each other and respect each other and you know, help each other where we can. And if we raise a few quid for a real vital cause, then that's like a huge bonus from it as well. So December the 4th, be there. And
we'll make sure that we mention that many more times that we're coming up. So make a date, make sure that you get a little bit of change out, and make sure that you get down to get your samosas on the Liverpool game. You've got advance warning already that it's taking place, and it's the first one back since lockdown, because all the other
March 2020. So that was our last game at Molineux before the lockdown was actually Samosa Saturday. So we carried it on as a delivery service. So, you know, which we didn't stop with the actual fundraising, but to have it back at the ground with the fan base, and everybody plays a part. So, you know, it's not an exclusive event where only so many people can attend, or it's reserved for certain, you know, it is an open forum, an open event where everybody's allowed to play a part and everybody can join in. And that's really, really key. That regardless of your background, regardless of who you are, whether you're a Liverpool fans will be coming, they've told me, I've had messages from them. They get, you know, lots and lots of negativity from our fan base, but they actually contribute a lot, Liverpool fans, to the fundraising. So they've already told me that they'll be there and they'll be throwing their money behind the cause. So, you know, let's make it a really enjoyable day and hopefully beat them as well.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on again today, Manny. I know you've, again, not long got back in. It was good seeing you just after the match. And
no problem.
If you've not already, make sure you catch up on the instant fan reaction straight after the game, because me and Manny, again, give our instant reaction straight after the game. So make sure you check that out as well. And I'll probably maybe see you on Thursday at tennis.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, no problem, mate.
All right. Good night, mate.
Cheers.
Take care.
See you, guys.
So that's Manny. Thank you ever so much for him coming on. Samosa Saturday, the 4th of December, before the Liverpool match. We'll obviously be giving a lot more details about that closer to the day. Next up, we've got Tuba Wolves. Craig, how you doing, mate? Looking, loving the retro. Is that the store top?
That's it.
No, look, the shimmer.
Actually, we were there. And we're old enough to be there, you see. So, yeah.
The shimmer and the shine on that, man. Beautiful.
I like it.
I do, mate. I do. Let's see your thoughts on today, mate. How have you watched the game today?
I can't say, Dave.
Okay. you've used your Spider VPN, shall we say. That's what you need to know.
You guys have done an absolutely great job to get back from the game. You look absolutely knackered, but
for yeah, I am a bit shattered. We all are, I think.
Before I talk about the game, Dave, I want to talk about Manny, who's a legend. Seen some really unsavoury stuff on social media, and rather than just have a go at these people that you can call all sorts of names, but if you do, then you stoop to their level, don't you? Just ask all these people that have given Manny and people like him stick because of maybe his faith or his colour or whatever. Go and get yourself educated. Go and find out what those communities add to our sort of way of life. They are the greatest people. I've got loads of times for the Sikh community and Manny in particular. He just works tirelessly to make other sort of people's lives much, much better. And for anybody to have a go at him, you sort of really need to get yourself educated. So I just wanted to get that off my chest, Dave.
100% right, mate. 100% absolutely right. Is everything that you've said in that, mate. And, you know, we haven't really gone into much. I know Manny wouldn't want us to go into much of this, but it's very, very sad. I mean, I've had stick, but Manny gets it on an unprecedented stage. And it's I know how him and his family have suffered with it. So I just hope these sort of things do stop. We're, you know, Wolves fans, we should be all, whether you like someone or don't like someone, you know, we love our team. We should all just stick together and back the team, have banter. If you don't like someone, fine, that's fine. People don't like me, but there's no need to be nasty or vitriol about it. And let's hope that there are. I know that Manny's told me that there's a lot of people that have been ashamed of some of the things that they said and have reached out to him. And there's others that do need to, take a look and maybe get educated. And I know that's something that Manny wants. But 100% right. Moving on to the game, mate.
Yeah, what a great start. I mean, we like started really, really well, and we're obviously buoyed by last week's three points that we pretty much stole, didn't we? And then we did what we always do with teams that press us really, really high, which is why we always play well against the top teams, because they haven't got that same sort of pressing game. They give us space to play, and our players enjoy that space to play. And when we're pressed, when we push back, the midfield team in particular don't like it, and they almost cease to function. Our back four are looking really great, and the front two look great, but where we really need work is in the middle of the park. When we press, we really struggle. Not just this game, every single game that I've seen for the last year and a half. When any team's given us no time at all, we've really, really struggled. But you know what? We've just played two games away from home and come away with four points out of six, Dave. And you can't argue with that. That's.
We'd have took it before the gap. The two matches for definite.
The disappointment is that the we looked so good, and when we scored, we were well on top. And had we pushed that home, we'd have beat them 2-3-0, 3-1.
I agree.
And we've just got this habit, and maybe we're in two minds at the moment. We're in the large mindset and the Nuno mindset, and we don't quite know which way to play at the moment, and we're reverting back to what we know, maybe. But again, you know, we're doing really well. 13 points after nine games with a new manager, and the goal difference is naught. So you know that's not bad at all. What else have I got to say? Traore today, he just can't make the ball stick. I mean, that guy, was it Darlow that was on him like a...
I think you're right, yeah.
Like glue. But if he's worth what we think he is, he should have shrugged him off, Dave. And he failed to cope with him today. Donk was just awful. And so goes on to my last point that I want to make to you. Why do managers, and particularly Large, seem reticent to make early substitutions when players are just not on it? You know, it's only one game. It isn't as though he's going to discard that player for the rest of the season. You can tell when a player's not on it on a day, and they continue. And, you know, that goal, we were really, really lucky to get the draw today, because Leeds, for the last hour, they absolutely battered us, didn't they?
To be fair, yeah. I mean, especially, I think they were starting to get a foothold towards the end of the first half. And then the second half, it just as it went on, it was just became more and more of one-way traffic. And I kept looking over at the clock, it was almost kind of like reticent, funnily enough, thinking about it now, how I was looking at the clock at the end of the semi-final against Watford. I was just thinking, please, can we get to the end of the game? When we got into, and they had put six minutes up, I'm like, oh, 6 minutes, man. It's a long time, 6 minutes. And of course, the goal came, and then they had another couple of opportunities after that to have won the game. And I think there was only one, although we had that one chance from Pedence that we talked about with the throw out from Saar. I thought, oh, great, we've got corner up the other end. But it was just a little respite. And, you know, you can't, if we'd have got out of it with a 1-0, it would have been a smash and grab, really. The fact that we got a point, I'm still quite happy, because we could have easily have lost that game. So, you know,
I agree. And we're on a really, really good run. And I can see us doing really, really well. We just got to sort out this way to play when teams deny us space, Dave, because we do tend to struggle then. You know,
well, we played like this press early doors when then the first three games. I know we didn't win and we should have won and we didn't. We would have been able to put the ball in the back of the net, but we played so well and so dominant. And then as each week's gone on, we seem to be more submissive. And it's, you know, Bruno Lage has been brought in to play attacking football and Nuno was quite defensive. And that second half was, I mean, we all lucky to have a lot of time for Nuno and the results that he got us, but it was very, very, looked like a Nuno team rather than a Bruno Lage team in the second half. And whether that's because we're carrying injuries or we're short in depth or because it was a tactical decision, I'm not really sure. But I am quite pleased on the whole with how Bruno's doing, I think, because we've talked about he's still only 9 games in, as Manny mentioned. He hasn't had... He'll need 2 or 3 transfer windows, yeah. I think. Not just the January one, but next summer he's going to be key. Once he's got 3 transfer windows in, we might see more of what he wants. But we've got to go big in January, I think, in terms of what we're bringing in, because if we can get into a decent position come January and we're in the top half, as we talked about a few weeks ago, we can really push on second half of the season, especially when you get the likes of Johnny and Neto back as well. We'll have a bit more strength in depth, but a couple more injuries and we could really struggle.
Yeah, but then I mean look at the way that we're bringing young kids through. I mean, in the next 1 to 2 years, we're gonna have 5, 6, 7 really great young kids with at least 10 years at Wolves if we like keep them, and they're really, really class players, and I'm excited. But today's just... At the end of the game, I was absolutely livid because I just felt as though we'd given away 2 points.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know what? We've got out of jail there and we've got 4 points out of 6-2 games.
I'll tell you what, Craig, before we get on to your performance rating and your man of the match, take how we felt at the end of that game and times it by about 100, and that's probably how a Villa fan felt last week.
So that right, isn't it? I don't care though, Dave.
I know.
And there will be more songs when the time's right. So, Sarr is man of the match for me. I love how he's not only a keeper, but he's a built-in sweeper as well. When that ball comes over the top, Rui never came off his line. Sar's always there for us.
He's
always
looking good, and that's why he got Player of the Month last month. I'm impressed. He's won a lot of the fans round, to be fair.
Absolutely. And 5.5 out of 10. First half an hour, 7.5, 8 out of 10. But the last hour went down to 4.5, 5. So I've given it 5.5 out of 10. Dave, thanks for your work again. Don't take any notice of the knockers. Always
that's
people
right. We try not to. Yeah, I'll get Dave, more positivity than knocks. There's a lot of great community here. And, you know, there's some people that just, you know, that's how they are. They like to drag you down, don't they?
You're right, Dave, but those that moan and knock and insult, you can guarantee are the people that never do anything in their lives for anybody else. So just ignore them. Water off a duck's back, mate. You do a great job.
I need to bring them ducks back out. They ain't been out for a while, them ducks.
You do. Well done, clan. Well done, D-Disc clan. And another great show tonight, Dave. Well done,
yeah, the Dazzlers, we call them. You're part of the Dazzlers, man. Right, cheers, Craig. We're going to get Jack on next. Dave, catch you best, soon, mate. Buddy.
All right, take care yourself, bud.
Cheers, man. Bye. So that's Craig. Again, always comes on with he's very honest, is Craig. When he ain't happy, you know he ain't happy. Even if he's put a smile on his face, you can tell in his eyes. And when he's happy, he's very, very happy. He makes a song up. And next up, but last but not least, we've got Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hello, mate.
Have you been today?
Yes, I have, mate. Unfortunately, I didn't see you for a change. I was quite surprised I didn't see you. But yeah, I've been back about an hour.
It's been it was a long old day today. Set off at half past nine. Got in at about 8:45.
Yeah.
Running the show at 9:15. I'm glad I did put that extra 15 minutes on it today to give me the time to have a cuppa, to be fair, mate. Whereabouts in the stand were you today? Were you your mate from last week as well?
You what, mate?
Were you your mate from last week?
Yeah, I was with my, yeah. We were sat in the lower part of the lower tier part. We were right by the tunnel part.
Yeah. We were right in the corner by the corner flag, about three or four rows back.
It's one of them, isn't it? It's one of them. Do you know what? Considering last week how high like we were, it feels like a defeat, to be honest with you, because of the timing of the goal. It feels like it's drained so much out of people. Like, I thought we played really well. Second half, I've never seen us be battered like that so much. Put 11 men behind the ball. I've never seen a team like properly keep the ball from us, move it out wide, put it out into the box. I thought the back three did really well, as you've said earlier. I thought the back three did really well. Considering that Norrie's not played for a while, he did really well as well.
I think that's why he started to suffer with the cramp on about the hour mark, because he hasn't had much. And it was quite an intense second half as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you feel like it's in the end it's a point gained rather than 2 points lost? Or how are you feeling?
Yeah. I'm a bit annoyed because we had it in the bag. I thought they were going to be honest with you, with the foul. It's a stonewall penalty. I don't know what he's doing. Why would you make a foul in the 90th minute? I don't know. Personally, I was saying to my mate, I know Soyuz was on the yellow card, but just knock the ball out for a corner, get 11 men behind the ball, and then get rid of it. Why? I know Samada wasn't playing that side, and he's come across for Hoover, but I don't know. Excuse me. Personally, my opinion, you know what my opinion is on Mr. Samada, and every time I watch him, I think he's getting worse and worse, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can get where you're coming from. I think he's got, I personally think he's got something. I think he did all right on the right-hand side today. Yeah. But when he went on to the left, he looked like a literal duck out of water. He's positional play. He was exposed. But we didn't have another option on the bench to do anything. We brought Hoover on.
Marcel on the bench.
He's got a calf injury, mate. Apparently, what? Bruno Lage has said, and that's why Neves didn't start as well, because he'd picked up. I read that on. I don't know whether it's Tim Spears that tweeted this after the game, or Liam from the Express and Star. But
the other person I thought today, I don't know how you can still be in that team, is Dendoncker. I thought Dendoncker was awful, to be honest with you. Some of the passing, do you know what it reminded me of? Honestly, and you'll have a laugh at this. It reminded me of Carl Henry back in the day. Backwards, honestly. The amount of passes he gave away. I mean, to be fair, I've just seen that comment that you can't. The person's just putting. I agree. Samado did make the goal, but what else did he do apart from that? I'm going to be honest with you. What else? He didn't do anything else. What else did he do?
Well, that's football, isn't it, Jack? A game of opinions, eh? Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, there are people that, like I say, you're not really a big fan. He's still yet to win you over. And me, I'm not a big fan either, but I'm slightly more positive about him. It was difficult. I really want him, for me, I really want Samado to take a grip on both ends of the pitch and really show that what I think he's got. I mean, he came from Barca. I know it's a different system, but he hasn't really convinced anyone yet. It's still, for me, that's due. I'm still on the fence with him a little bit, I think. I want to give him that chance to really...
There's sometimes where he does, like today with the goal, I thought, with the assist, I thought, you know, fair play. But then, like we said, he's been moved to a left side. And then, it's the last minute of the game. Personally, if I was a defender, I'd make sure that the ball would go out for a corner or it'd go out the stand.
What's the thing that you get told to say when you're playing football? If in doubt,
just do it. Yeah, exactly.
Kick it out.
Exactly, get it out.
Exactly. And it's disappointing because we didn't thingy, but to be fair, if Leeds had gone and got a point out of that, that would have been really, really, really hard. But yeah, we lost three games at the start of the season, yeah, when we deserve more,
yeah,
and we didn't get it.
I've got to admit though, mate, today, like Manny said, their atmosphere has got to be one of the best I've been to.
It was fantastic.
It was incredible, mate. It was unbelievable. The only thing that annoyed me a little bit was when I think it was Aiton Nouri or someone down in front of us in the second half, you just see them starting to throw things. And I was like,
yeah, we talked about this at the top.
There's no need for that.
There's a lot of lighters and things thrown on. And I'm disappointed because the Leeds fans, you know, they sang, especially that behind the goal bit, they were singing back. There was a banter going backwards and forwards with the singing, and they were really loud. They got that thing that they got going for ages and ages and ages. They drove their team on, and it wasn't just that end. It was all the way around the ground. And if it wasn't for the fact that they threw things on the pitch at our players, I just think that took the shine off. You know, respect to the Leeds fans for the way their atmosphere was and the way they supported and drove the team. That is proper support for a team that's not started the season, second season syndrome, but then for a few to let themselves down, throwing thing, it just took the shine off what would have been, for me, a glowing home support.
Yeah, it was. I thought Villa's support before we started scoring last week was good, but that topped it by a mile. I thought that was incredible, especially when they walked out and you heard that marching on together. I thought it was incredible hearing it. I was like, wow. I was like, okay, I've not heard you sing this before, like really loud like that. And it was really good. It was a good atmosphere. It's good Oster. It's not the best for an away fan and a player though. It's very hostile, isn't it?
Oh, incredibly hostile. And I think they were the literal 12th man. And I felt like the support grabbed that Leeds team and dragged them up a level. And then the team responded and the fans responded. And it was just very intimidating. And I thought our defence were dealing with it. I think Dendonka was disappointing, and I like Dendonka. You know, he doesn't get into the Belgian squad in place of De Bruyne for being rubbish, which is the number one team in the world in world football. Yeah. So he's got to have something. But we miss Neves all the way through, and I think
it'd have been a different game to
both. Oh, because Neves can literally, if he's on it, he can literally dictate the play. And Moutinho getting that yellow card, as we've talked about earlier, in the fifth minute, I think took, because he's like a terrier, I think he had to hold back a little bit. I think all of that had an accumulative effect. And the final nail was when Aiton Nouri went off and we moved Semedo over, and then we just looked so vulnerable at the back.
We
got away with it, but we didn't.
There's a question for you. You know, you said we need a defender and things like that. Would you move Dendonka back to a defensive role?
Do you know what? Dendonka's done a job there, hasn't he? But when you've only got three midfielders...
Well, that's another thing.
You've got no option in midfield. Gibbs-White's out at being toughed up into a man over at Sheffield United. We've only got Moutinho and Neves, really. And then you've got the under-23s potential. And if you move Dendonka back, it's like, where's your other option from midfield? You don't have it. But the problem is, mate, if we don't bring in one or two defenders in the January window, you're going to be left with the problem. The only solution is Dendonka coming in, or does he go to a back four and he plays Cody and Kilman?
Yeah.
You know, because Soyuz and Bolly are off to the African Cup of Nations. Yersin's, I don't know how long he's... have you any idea how long he's out for?
Well, I've read, I think, when it happened, I think they said 5 to 6 months, because it looked really a bad one.
Yeah, he was crying, wasn't he? What he was gutted for him, because he looked a bit John Smith.
Yeah, he looked really good. He did look really comfortable on the ball. He did, to be honest.
So if you think about it, mate, we've got a lot of attacking options, even without Neto. who's out. Trincao was on the bench again today. We've got Pedence, Adama, Raul, Silva. At the top end of the pitch, we've got a lot of attacking options. Midfield, we've got three midfielders. One of them, if one of them gets injured, we're really, really thinking. If it's Neves, I'm really worried. Yeah. And then at the back, we've got Cody, Kilman and Saiz.
Yeah.
Volley, hopefully, will return. But come January, we've got Cody and Kilman.
Yeah.
So I just hope that they've got someone lined up for the beginning of January. Do they recall Sanderson?
Yeah, to be honest, Dave, I think they've already got a midfielder and a defender lined up. I think they've already
I think Sanchez could come. As Thomas said, Botman would be a good one.
That'll happen.
They've just got to pay the money and bring these players in early doors because we can't really... We need strength. And if we've got that extra midfielder, we get Neto and Johnny back and we bring in the defenders. Yeah. I mean, Marcel actually can play centre-back. He's played centre-back for Lyon. So he can drop into the centre-back position. So he can play centre-back. Marcel's another option. And if you get Johnny Otto back, that might be something that can happen.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see. What are you going to give your man of the match and your performance rating to finish off?
Between two again. I'm going to say before we got injured, I'm going to say Jose Sarr. Before we got into Joe's episode, sorry, let me restart that. Before we got injured, Aitonori,
yeah.
I think Joe's I started to be like that at the start of the season.
A lot of people like I said, he's won a lot of people over, hasn't he?
Yeah. So Sarr's won me over because some of the saves he pulls off, and you're thinking, how? And his distribution, literally, he'll get the ball. And like I think it was Manny that said, if Adama was on the end of that cross where he plays out to Pedence, you would have gone through and scored 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great save. I thought it was goal, man. I literally thought it was goal. I thought when he saved it, I missed it as well. I didn't capture it, which was a shame. But it was such a great save. And he's pulled off some... I mean, he didn't win Player of the Month last month for not being... because he's good. But I like the fact how he commands his area. He comes off his line more than... Rui Patricio is a great keeper. Patricio is a brilliant shot stopper. But I think Jose Sarr commands his area a bit, and his distribution, his quick thinking. Yeah. You know, he hit that ball for Raul. Okay, he had a lot of work to do against Southampton, and that throw that he did today to Pedence. Yeah. Pedence got the shot away. I think, as Manny mentioned, I said if it had been Traore, he might have been away and with a caught him on the counter at that point, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think if you put the ball through, I was quite surprised he took Adama off, to be honest with you. I thought he'd have kept Adama on for that exact reason, that counter-attacking speed.
Well, exactly. I think it'll be interesting to see what the starting lineup is for Everton. Hopefully, we have got 9 days, so hopefully that's a little bit of extra recovery time, isn't it? And then we've got Palace away after that. Obviously, Everton shocked defeat 2-5 to Watford, but they conceded 4 in the last 15 minutes or so. They collapsed today, and of course Palace managed to drag a draw out to the jaws of victory again today. They've drawn so many games, Palace. They've only lost 2.
Tough one there, Celeste. It'll be a very tough game.
Looking forward. You going to that, Jack?
Yeah, mate, I've got tickets. Yeah, I'm going to Palace. It's going to be an interesting game, to be honest with you. It's one of them.
It's the wrong side of London, so it's a long trip as well. So extra time might have to be on the Sunday for that one because it might be a late one back. And what's your performance rating?
I'll probably go with what Manny said, a 5.5-6, to be honest with you.
So that's quite interesting. I think the general consensus from all of you guys over today is that Sarr, for his performance and his shot stopping and distributions, I think probably just edged out Moutinho on man of the match. And the performance rating, it seems that the average is around about 6, which shows how low it is today. Yeah. And I think the 6 is literally because we got out of it with a point. Yeah. I think had we not, I think it could have been even lower.
Yeah, exactly. If it had been a defeat today, and to be honest with you, like you said to many other callers before, when they equalised, when they had the chance going forward, I was thinking, please don't concede now. Because I was literally panicking. I was like, we're going to lose now.
I know. I was worried about it. Glad when the whistle went.
Yeah, same.
100%. Listen, Jack, thanks ever so much for coming on. Much appreciated. Welcome anytime. You always talk really, really well. I know it's great that you've come back and managed to get on as well, because it has been a long day. So thank you for taking the time out to come on, mate.
Okay, mate, no problem. I'll be seeing you in the North Bank on week on Monday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that one. I shall be over in Casino 36 Sports Bar, I think, before the game, having something to eat. And I should mention as well that Casino 36, I think on the 18th of May, I've got an evening, not May, November, I've got an evening with Don Goodman, I think. Okay. They've got down there, they've got Don Goodman over there as well. So, but listen, guys, before you go, everyone, if you could smash a like on the video, see whether we can get over 100 likes on it, that would be amazing. Feel free to share. And leave your comments as well below. If you're watching it back after, I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you're listening to it on the podcast, always Wolves, thank you for tuning in wherever you are in the world. Lots of love to you and your families from finishing the show with me and Jack today. Always Wolves. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.